Everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce community and beyond. For today's session, we are talking Be More Slack Consultancy. So this is something that is perhaps new to some of the audience here, where I primarily do kind of Salesforce-based content, but looking forward to diving into this today and finding out a little bit more about what it takes to be a Slack consultancy. So I'm joined today by Lawrence, who is the co-founder of Brid. And without further ado, Lawrence, if you could introduce yourself for us, please.
Great. Thanks, Tom. And it's a pleasure to be here today as well. So yes, I'm Lawrence. I'm co-founder of Brid, which is one of the first Slack consultancies in the world. I've very much been in the Salesforce ecosystem and Slack ecosystem as much as someone possibly could. My previous roles were actually working at Salesforce and at Slack. So I started off at my career in Salesforce, I guess, by accident, as many people I'm sure have done as well, joining a company called Datarama, which was acquired about 5 or 6 years ago, now into the marketing cloud ecosystem. So I've worked on marketing cloud roles, then I moved to Evergage, now Interaction Studio, and my final role at Salesforce was at Slack as an account executive before launching a Slack consultancy with another individual who worked there called Jacob, who was the lead customer success manager for Asia Pacific.
Okay, awesome. That sounds great. So for our audience, Slack consultancy might be a new concept for them. If you were to explain what that means in terms of a role, how would you describe that? And perhaps how does it compare to being a Salesforce consultancy?
Yeah, well, I don't know a huge amount about how it compares to a Salesforce consultancy, although in my time working at Salesforce, of course, I was privy to implementations across the Salesforce ecosystem, with a strong focus towards the marketing cloud side of things. It is a very brand new part of Salesforce. As everyone knows, it was acquired into the ecosystem. And I think really the idea for a Slack consultancy and the idea for myself and Jacob setting up this business was the fact that I think we had a very privileged experience and view that we saw probably the best version of Slack anyone would ever see, which is how Slack uses Slack, right? So, what I did see in my time there, working and with my customers, both large and small, was that there was a huge amount being left on the table when companies are using Slack. A lot of the time, companies are still, I would almost say stuck using it for basic messaging when the platform is so rich and has a interconnectivity layer, which allows you to, basically automate your whole productivity suite and your work life. So that's really where the idea for a Slack consultancy came from myself. And it's not so different to a Salesforce consultancy. So, we advise customers, we'll obviously go in and look at how they're using Slack today and offer recommendations, but we also provide the implementation services as well. So, I would term that as getting your hands dirty. We will go in and, clean up the channels, build new workflows, connect apps, etc. So, not a huge amount of difference, I think, in the day-to-day role. But I would say that one thing that there is a large difference to would be, some of the stakeholders that often you would interact with, as in Salesforce, typically it's with CROs and sales or marketing or different parts of the IT department. But Slack typically is there as well, but also within it's a tool that is also embedded within HR and how the company, you know, goes to their corporate comms and, you know, I would say more of the, you know, touchy-feely side of a business than maybe some of the cut and dryness of Salesforce.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. That's good to know. And I'm starting to kind of connect things in my head already as we have this conversation. So would you perhaps do a health check for somebody and kind of, I guess, understand the health of their Slack instances and then provide recommendations off of the back of that?
Yeah, exactly that. Although it would all depend on where the company is in its life cycle with Slack. So, you know, being a partner business, we work with the Slack account executives, you know, some of which are my old friends and, of course, new friends since launching the business. And we're now working across really all time zones and regions, you know, from San Francisco to Sydney. Yeah, so it tailored towards really what a customer is needing. Some customers, as you say, might be have using WhatsApp or Telegram or just emails, and they're now looking to move to Slack for the first time. And then that would be much more of a launch package of how to set it up correctly and some training and advice. And then you also have, of course, customers who have been maybe on the platform for 3, 4, 5 years who, like you said, need a health assessment, you know, again, bringing in a lot of that skills that both myself and in particular my co-founder has, as he was, you know, at Slack before the acquisition, whereas I moved over after it was acquired, although I did use Slack when it was when I was at Datarama. So my love for Slack goes back before that. And yeah, if they have that, if they've had the platform for a long time, we will go in and see how they're using it. And a lot of the services we offer is, you know, and a lot of the value I think we bring to the table is connecting different stakeholders like IT, like corporate comms, HR, marketing, and looking at how they're using Slack. And we often see that in many cases, you know, the IT team are getting tons of value. You know, they've built workflows, they've got Jira integrated. And then you go to, let's say, the sales team, for example, and they don't even know what a workflow is. So, so you have to be very adaptable in that way to the different engagements.
Yeah. And I guess the different needs of those stakeholders as well. IT are probably very keen on getting something in Jira perhaps and getting a ticket raised, whereas marketing kind of have a different set of requirements too, right?
Yeah. And that's something that I really love about this role. And, you know, if I look at my previous roles in Salesforce, you know, Datarama was, I would say, a very niche product, you know, great at what it does, but it was, you know, a few decision makers and in a very siloed part of the business. However, with Slack, every day is different. You know, I join calls with companies and I have no idea what part of their business they may want to be improving. You know, at the moment, we're working with a customer in Hong Kong who wants to do a process to do with the maintenance of lifts and elevators in a transport system. And then another day, we might be working with a fintech customer who wants to migrate to enterprise grid of Slack. And, you know, it's very much an IT use case. So, yeah, it's a very, very exciting role, I would say, in that sense.
Okay, awesome. And I guess kind of leaning onto that last bit there, when you are migrating a customer from one Slack addition to the other, like upgrading to enterprise grid, that requires a fair bit of back and forth with Slack as well, right? Because they're in charge of some of the process and you're in charge of some other bits of the process, right?
Yes, a little bit. But, you know, even though, as I say, we have stepped outside of being, you know, actually working at Slack and having our Salesforce and Slack email addresses no more, you know, there's still within Slack multiple people who, you know, work together to get those different additions upgraded. So customer success managers, and then there's an internal Slack team. And I think what's been really exciting since we've launched as well is that we've been very vibrant in terms of talking about the Slack community. So I actually lead the Slack community for Singapore, and we're on a few of the pilots, some of which I literally can't talk about today. I'm under NDA to talk about, but honestly there's some super exciting things coming that we're in beta testing already. So I would say to anyone that's using Slack today, you know, expect some exciting things coming, some of which you've already probably heard from things like Dreamforce, but even more coming from the platform. As I say, talking to the product team about, how we can test those.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's great. And I mean, I know from my own experience, Salesforce is a company, they love an NDA. So I appreciate that. I guess day to day, as a Slack consultancy, you kind of touched on already communicating with stakeholders like marketing, HR, IT. What about a traditional kind of project in inverted commas? Like, what type of roles are part of a project and how do you interact with those different roles?
Yeah, so it's probably best to outline what certifications you need to be a Slack consultant. There's three main certifications, which are in Slack certified, which is the Slack admin certification, just like Salesforce admin, then there's Slack consultant, and then there's Slack developer. So I would say any serious consultancy like ourselves who just specialize in Slack, have a mixture of all three. However, not all three are required in every engagement that we would have. Again, I would go back to, what is the customer doing today in their life cycle with Slack and how, advanced they are on, I would say, the maturity curve in terms of what they're utilizing. The age old, the walk, crawl and run philosophy. Yes. If there's a customer that's just on, let's say, the free edition, for example, and they're just going to move on to Pro and it's a launch package, for example, is it a good time to be, getting a Slack developer in to build a custom app? I would say they're not ready for that yet. It's much more about those first two, the consulting part of it in terms of change management. You were using WhatsApp before. Let's bring in, the idea of the channels that you had, but let's talk about now how you should thread and best in class practices. And then the administration part of setting up so that, it's all working and hums nicely. But conversely, we also engage with customers who have been on the platform for 5 years, investing, six figure amounts in the platform. They would have nailed those basics already. So for them, that's when really not only do we start building custom applications, which might start, calling API scripts from Salesforce, for example, or any other platforms that they might have. There are tons of out-of-the-box apps, Zendesk apps, Zapier apps already that Slack connects with, which is one of the reasons why it's the most favored platform in the world when you look at people using it versus some of the others, maybe I won't mention. Yeah. So those engagements might be a bit more technical and, as they say, require either, a Slack developer, a Salesforce developer, or a developer.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's great. And I can, again, see some parallels there. You kind of really work with the client to understand what they need. And I guess something that I do, like from a Salesforce point of view, primarily is understand, like you mentioned, their maturity and ultimately kind of what they need and what's going to be too much. Because I think there is a fine line there of understanding what they actually need versus what you can do, because what you can do is a lot broader than what they actually need, right?
Yeah. And I would say Slack in particular is a platform. I found this when I was selling it as an account executive. Often, it's not what the platform can do, but, it's finding, what's the most valuable thing to that customer, because there are literally thousands of avenues you could take it down. So a lot of the time, as I say, a big part of that skill is working with both the on the ground, I would say teams who are using it day to day, because often they have the best ideas of how to improve their processes. You know, the marketing team probably best know how to probably use Slack to a better way to improve, you know, productivity within their silo. But also the business will have a key goals and objectives. So it's about collecting all of those different business objectives and working out, you know, which of them we're going to help out with first and charting a roadmap to success.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Okay, so moving on a little bit. In terms of a Slack consultancy, obviously that's the main thing that you as a company do. Do you specialize in any other platforms, or is primarily your focus kind of Slack and making sure that that's optimized or implemented in the best way possible?
Yeah, so we obviously get asked this question quite a lot. And I would say that, you know, we are a fully focused and specialized Slack consultancy. And I would caveat that with a flavor of Salesforce consulting as well. So, you know, I've been in the ecosystem, obviously worked at Salesforce, so I've got a pretty good idea and roadmap of how tightly these products are going to be integrated and already are starting to. So, you know, probably the reason that I'm on your call today and why people will be interested in knowing more about Slack. But we do, you know, often find cases where there are very complex installations of Salesforce, for example, or an existing long-term system integrator that is running their Salesforce instance. So, you know, we collaborate with the rest of the ecosystem. So there might be an instance where, you know, we're working on the Slack part of the implementation. The Salesforce consultant is doing that part, and there's a kind of meeting in the middle as well, where we connect both Slack and Salesforce, and we would work together to make that as seamless as possible. But some of the very basic stuff, like just pulling up records in Slack, etc., from Salesforce, we're capable of doing that, and we can handle it.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And yeah, because ultimately there is that connectivity between the two. You can call actions within Flow within Salesforce, and likewise you can see records in Slack and create records in Slack as well, I think. So there's definitely, I guess, that flexibility to an extent to kind of need to know both, especially, as you say, the way things are going and the more connected the two systems become. I think that's more important. So that's great to know. So if you were kind of offering any advice or tips to those that were looking to get started, like in the Slack consultancy arena, is there any kind of key points that you would share?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say is, you know, you have to be passionate about Slack. You know, it's one of those, I've never sold or now, you know, worked, and, you know, I kind of have obviously bet the farm on this consultancy and the feedback so far in 6 months launching has been fantastic. So what I would say, though, is that people who use Slack are so passionate about it. I think way more passionate about it than I've ever come across. And I've sold many pieces of technology and worked at a lot of different technology vendors before. So, you know, it's really not a good idea to jump on a call with someone and send them even a Microsoft Teams link if you're going to implement a Slack consulting project for them. You know, get your hands on the platform. You know, it's free to download. There's so much you can find out and learn just even on the free version of it. The next thing I would say is to get yourself certified. There's those three levels of certifications that I mentioned already, which are paid certifications, and the courses are you know, fairly taxing, but not the hardest in the world if you put your mind to it. But if you're not ready to even take those exams, there are actually a number of free, like trails that you can take, both on Trailhead, but also on Slack Certified. So that would be the next part I would say to hit up. And then the final part is the vibrant community. Once you've done those first two things, like I mentioned, I'm a community leader for the Singapore chapter. My co-founder is the Sydney chapter lead, and there's chapters all over the world. So both virtually and in person, Slack people, like I said, are super passionate about the platform. So they love nothing more than talking about how to fix things in Slack and what's the newest things, UI changes. You can imagine people have very passionate opinions about that type of stuff. Join the Slack community, which of course is on Slack, and I think there's 10,000 plus members on there as well. So it's a really vibrant community.
Okay, awesome. That's great to see. And again, more parallels there with Salesforce, because Salesforce has its own community too, and groups everywhere. And I certainly see the Slack team are hard at work introducing those new chapters worldwide. I kind of see a post every couple of weeks on my LinkedIn about a new one that's gone up. So it's good to know that they're focused on building that out, because I think that is important. People sharing their experiences and working together and being able to think, oh, actually, did you know you could do this type thing, and kind of inspire those chains of thoughts. So that's awesome to see. I appreciate your kind of a beginning of a journey, really. But if you were to start out in this kind of Slack consultancy arena again, is there anything you would change, do differently, or perhaps do sooner, do you think?
Yeah, I think before launching this business, you obviously have some preconceived notions of your ideal target customer, your ideal target audience, and also geographies as well that you probably will work in. And I think I would say happily, I was surprised in many ways that some of those were turned out to be incorrect. So a couple of examples I would give you is that I very much thought the someone interacting with us would probably have to have 200 Slack users, would probably have to have, upwards of, multiples of thousands of dollars that they're already spending on the platform. Turns out our first company was a startup with only a handful of people who were setting up a Slack community. So that was the first thing that I got wrong, happily, because it was my our first customer. And again, as I said earlier, I'm British, but I've lived out in Singapore for 7 years now. That's where our HQ is. However, I'm now spending my time between London and Singapore, because I thought that we would probably just be focusing on APAC for maybe the first year, and then we would dip our toes into EMEA and maybe even the US. But again, our first customer literally turned out to be a US customer. So those two things as well have been things that, as I say, if I was to change and do differently, I would have probably put a bit more of a focus on that. But we pivoted very, very quickly, follow the dollars, right, in terms of where the work's coming from. So as I said, we're now have customers in Sydney, Singapore, Sweden, and all the way over to San Francisco as well in America.
Okay, that's awesome. And it's good to know kind of how kind of worldwide it is as well. So that's great. So if you were to kind of try to summarize skills, attributes it takes to be a Slack consultancy, I know we've touched on some already in terms of knowing the product perhaps engaging and being a part of those community chapters that Slack run. Are there any other kind of key points that you would kind of draw out to offer to the audience in terms of advice there?
Yeah, other than obviously the key one, which I'll call out again, which is obviously the passion side of things. I'll just double click on that one. But some of the other ones maybe I've not mentioned so far would be, change management skills. You know, a lot of this is dealing with people, and Slack is a very kind of personal platform, I think, more so than many, because it's where people communicate, not just in a work sense, but a lot of the time in a social sense, internally within their organizations. So I think you have to be very sensitive to the change that's made on Slack. So having, good people skills and change management skills is definitely key. I think, like I said, being able to think on the fly and being very adaptable would be another one, because, like I said, you never know what a customer might want to do with their Slack. Build an announcement bot so that they could, do better comms internal announcements. Mm-hmm. Versus, another customer that wants something very technical to do with Jira. They're two very different skill sets and are often people you're talking to. And the final one I would say, it's probably the boring one, but you have to get it right, is legal and analytical skills around contracting and, to be a Slack consultant. And to do our job, we have to access a company Slack environment to do our job properly. So, they are giving you the keys to, the cattle in terms of everything they've said. So you obviously need to really be up to date with things like privacy laws, GDPR, and all the other data sharing rules, depending on which country you're working across or in.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's a good point, because there are different rules. Like in Europe, you have GDPR. In America, you have the California Data Protection Act. And then you probably have something different in Australia or Singapore. So definitely, if you're going to be worldwide, you need to know and make sure that you're complying with those things. And perhaps advising clients on how to do the same as well. I'm not sure if it would extend that far, but it could potentially come to that.
Yeah, that's right. Because a lot of when companies step up, as we were talking about, to the enterprise grid version, which is the Nirvana of Slack usage, that does involve a lot of security tools around DLP software, that kind of stuff. So, I would say, not necessarily a background, but an understanding of security protocols within a business. You will often be talking to InfoSec teams when doing Slack work with customers, because, as I say, they want to lock down their Slack chat behavior as much as possible to make sure it doesn't leak. And that's one of the biggest selling points of Slack, as to not have someone on WhatsApp so that they can leave the company and leave with all of the documents and contracts that's ever been shared before, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's good to know. So if there was an opportunity for you to kind of de-myth or make people more aware about the role of a Slack consultancy, are there any kind of like misconceptions or old wives' tales or something like that you'd like to clarify for our audience?
Yeah. I don't think it's been around long enough for there to be probably old wives' tales. But I would say, it's in its infancy. As I say, there are only a handful of us globally that are focusing on this. We are starting to see a few of the larger consulting partners maybe get one person Slack certified in their team, just in case a project pops up. But as I say, I've had the privileged view of working at Slack and working with the teams and seeing what hundreds of customers are using Slack for. And it's really mind-blowing, how much can be done with Slack. So I guess that's probably one of the myths that you could bust, is that it's not a chat tool. You know, that's the first thing that you probably need to say to a client, is that if you're just using it for DMs, you know, you're really just missing out on the purpose of Slack. And, you know, that's really our job as Brid and as Slack focused consultants, is to work with customers directly and with the Salesforce and Slack teams to make sure that the investment that customers are making they're getting the most out of it. And I think the final part would be, you know, I really love this part of the job, because you are ultimately having an impact on someone's day-to-day work. You know, when we hand a Slack environment back to a customer, you know, not our hope, but we know that it's changing the way that hundreds, if not thousands, of people are going to work day-to-day, you know, and we're going to save them hours, change the way that they work, and hopefully make everyone happier. So yeah. I think that's, you know, quite a great thing to be part of.
And that's something, like, as a consultancy, you get that warm feeling inside, you know, when you hand something over to somebody and you start to see the success of what you've helped to create, right? That just makes you feel a little bit good as well.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So we are kind of coming up to time now, but before we do go, is there a way for people to connect with you? And is there any particular resources or content that you kind of want to shout out that would kind of help people learn more?
Yeah, so I mentioned it earlier, so I'll just briefly mention them again, which is, like I said, the Slack community. Get involved in that. It's free to join, get started with Slack and certified, or start either taking trails or the free certs on slackcertified.com. And then, yeah, if you want to connect with me, my LinkedIn, Lawrence Fitch, you'll be able to look me up pretty easily. And you can also check out our website, which is brid.io. So, yeah, that's the best way of reaching out to us, or finding out more about Slack consulting or being a Slack consultant in general.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks again for your time today. And hopefully we're going to inspire some people to learn more about the Slack consultancy arena. So thanks again.
Thanks. Cheers, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.